All right, he's back in action, and every time he's in the studio, people want to talk to him. Highly sought after in many ways. Clinical psychologist, his name is Dr. John Duffy. Your book, The Available Parent, is fantastic. Thanks for coming back with us today.
Thanks for having me back.
Glad John, one of the things you wanted to discuss with us today is co-parenting and the way that sometimes, not in all cases, but sometimes one parent will see a certain way of doing things with the kids where the other parent might want to do things slightly differently.
Exactly. Huh? Yeah. And it's an interesting thing because a lot of couples judge themselves pretty harshly about this. Like, we should be on the same page.
Yeah.
Some wise comedian somewhere way back when said, if the two of you think alike, one of you is unnecessary.
So, it's kind of true, though.
It's pretty clever, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably true in parenting as well, that it's not a bad thing for kids to adapt to different styles as long as they aren't clashing and as long as it's not like one parent sabotaging another. You know, the thing that concerns me maybe a lot about this is when there's a vibe where mom might say, well, we'll do this, but don't tell dad about it, or vice versa. You know what I mean? And I think that puts kids in kind of an odd, anxious position, you know?
And it puts the kids in control.
Yeah, right. Even
I mean,
worse.
You know, it's like they'll work both angles. And I have to confess, being younger, you know, we did that as kids sometimes. It's like if mom said no, you'd ask dad.
Right, right. And a lot of parents lament that, like, you know, well, they're manipulating us. And my thought is, well, any self-respecting kid, if they see that there's a weak spot there, they're going to go for the weak link, right? You know,
right.
If I can get curfew half an hour later with mom, I'm going with mom. You know, there's a skill woven in there as well.
Yeah.
With me, it was my mom and my sister. My mom would give me a curfew, and my sister would go, don't you think that's too late? She's an older sister, and now I love her. But boy, for a while, I got mad at her.
Well, and some of us do have more than two parents in a lot of ways, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right.
Do parents sometimes play a game of good cop, bad cop when it comes to kids? They do, don't they?
All the time. All the time. And I'm not altogether against it unless there's always this one bad cop. You know what I mean? And then good cop kind of sabotages bad cop's, you know, intentions and connections. And so I think the more balance there is between kind of discipline and connection between mom and dad, the better.
Right.
If somebody's always the heavy, they're going to be avoided. There's going to be this kind of narrative that's drawn that suggests like, I don't like that parent.
Right.
And that isn't useful in the family, creates a lot of strife. But yes, that happens all the time in most every family.
Sure.
Yeah.
And something Dr. Duffy has taught me is I'm someone who threatens, but I have no follow through in many aspects of my life. But I am a threatener.
Right.
And there are a lot of parents like that. And the kids know that they're not going to follow through. And John has said, you know what? Follow through this time, and it does kind of change things up quite a bit. Leave them guessing is what I guess you should do.
And if you make a promise to them, like, you know, hey, listen, if you do this, you're going to lose your phone for X number of hours. Then do that. Even if it creates dissent between you, at least they know what's coming, and that predictability helps in a lot of ways. You know,
and you know, this is something, you know, I could read every. I didn't know much about parenting until I became a parent, and I'm still learning something every day. So The Available Parent helps a lot. And I've read a lot of things, too, where I completely lost my thought.
Oh.
First one would be take your ADHD meds.
Maybe.
Before you go on the air. But you have to have the follow-through. I really completely forgot my thought, so we'll get back to it.
John, what about this? This was the situation when I was growing up with my brother and I. We always liked it better if my mom would just issue a punishment right then and there, because her alternative would she would say sometimes, you know what, why don't you guys just sit down in your rooms and we'll let your father deal with this when he gets home. Now, he wasn't any more tough on us, but it was just the idea that we'd have to wait before we got our sentencing. That's what we were so nervous about.
The waiting's the hardest part because you don't know what's going to happen.
I remember purgatory. I know exactly what you're talking about, and that wait till your father gets home. Even if dad wasn't the scarier parent, it's just, you know, there is this deterrent, like, oh boy, the waiting, you know, sitting there, we're dead, you know?
Right.
One thing I find with kids today is, a generation ago, I think we were afraid. We were afraid of our mom and dad, and maybe dad in particular. Kids today are real savvy. And not only are they not afraid, but I've had kids say to their parents in my presence, well, yeah, if you cross the line, I'm just going to call DCFS on you.
Really?
Yes, honest to God. I mean, it's not an uncommon thing.
Wow.
Now, it rarely actually happens. But the point being, kids are kind of onto us.
Yeah.
And I'm not altogether against that, because I think it fosters less fear in the kids and parenting out of fear. You know what I mean? Like, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And wait until you get it. Wait until mom or dad gets home. And I would much rather there be a connection fostered and a discussion fostered instead of just having a fearful child who's just waiting to get punished.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where we get into discussions a lot on this very show when mm-hmm. something comes up. Well, these kids don't respect their parents anymore. Just because you're not afraid of your parents like we were does not mean you don't respect them, correct?
What a fine line, but you're absolutely right. When it comes down to it, I was working with a family not long ago, and mom and dad were dwelling on the idea that this kid just didn't respect them because he didn't follow the rules and he didn't fall into place and he wasn't getting the grades he was supposed to get. And he finally said, "I have a lot of respect for you. I'm struggling in a lot of areas of my life that you're not happy with, but I really appreciate all you do for me and I have a lot of respect."
Yeah.
And that gave the parents a little room to breathe. You know what I mean? They were like, "Oh, okay, we didn't raise this kind of monster. This is a really good kid. He's just trying to figure it out." And there's a difference. But if you assume that the misbehavior is disrespect, then you've created a real, like, communication problem,
I think,
between you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Times have definitely changed, and that's where I finally remembered what I was going to ask you. Reading up on books, parenting and stuff, and you see the common thread between a lot of them, that even though kids will fight you on consequences and such, kids do want boundaries. They do want to know they're taken care of. And that's where I think sometimes people forget about that. Is that true? Do kids want boundaries?
I agree. Yeah, completely. Kids will never thank you for it. Right. This is the tricky part, right? But they need structure and clarity and boundaries. And I think the more set in stone it is for a time period anyway,
yeah,
the better off they are. They know that, okay, this isn't going to be a negotiation. This is what this is the rule. And so once I realize I violate the rule, it's a choice I've made, and I'm going to have to stick to the consequence. You know, without there being this big blow up or discussion, it's just really, really clear. And it protects a lot of time then for just connecting with your kid, just having a good time with them. And you're not spending all your time talking about, well, here's what you did wrong, and here's why I'm going to add to the consequence, you know, and then everything becomes like quicksand. You know what I mean? Nothing is really clear.
All right, we have Dr. John Duffy in the studio, and Derek, we have to go to a break, but John had mentioned that sometimes kids are not scared of their parents anymore and sometimes threaten to call the police or DCFS. You know something about this?
Yes. When I was in school, they had a little conversation with us about it and gave us little cards to call if for whatever reason, and my dad told me to do something or whatever or else, and I said, "Well, fine, I'm going to call this number." And he said, "Go ahead."
What happened?
Then you can share a big room with a bunch of people and not have anything of your own anymore.
Did you make that call?
I walked inside and threw that piece of paper out.
Yeah. Sure.
Probably the right thing to do, Derek. I think your dad probably had a pretty good point there.
Thanks for sharing that. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200. We have some people lined up that have questions for Dr. John Duffy. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. Dr. John Duffy, he is a fine therapist, a psychologist. My sons see you, so I'm not going to hog you. We have listeners who would like to talk to you, if that's okay.
That sounds good.
All right, Linda is on the line. And Linda, Dr. John Duffy.
Hi, Dr. Duffy. My son is currently a junior at the University of Southern California. He was diagnosed last year with depression, anxiety, and panic disorder. And has really had a very difficult time getting through every semester. And thankfully, we'll be coming home this summer. And I'm looking for really good therapy and psychiatric help for him to help with his disorder. I mean, I also suffer from depression and anxiety, and my son knows that, and I'm not ashamed to say that, and he knows that he needs help, but he's having an extremely difficult time trying to get through school. He just completed an intensive outpatient program, IOP, through the school.
Right.
Which they offered, which is wonderful, but still worried about, I want to make sure that he has a good transition from his college to home in terms of therapy.
Got it, Linda. Okay, so the let me give you the good news first. You know, your son is an age where depression, anxiety, some panic issues come up a lot. So I don't want you to feel like he's alone. As you might know, that IOP program and some of the other therapy programs at USC are available because there are kids who need them. And also, everything he's going through is really treatable. It's a really stressful time in life, right? But this
Correct.
Stuff is manageable. And if he's coming back to the Chicago area, there are a lot of therapists trained to work through these issues with kids this age. So I'm glad that he's already gone through the IOP program. He's probably familiar with a lot of the language that is healing in this regard. And so the goal probably, I would argue, for the summer is to get him in to see a therapist who has experience with people his age and around depression and anxiety and panic. And in a dozen weeks or however long his summer is, I am confident that he can, if not get entirely past these issues, get to the point where he can manage them pretty well. I assume he's a pretty bright guy and a pretty insightful guy. And if he's willing to go through an IOP program, that sometimes with young men in particular is half the battle. So I already think you've come a long way toward addressing that with him.
All right, Linda.
Absolutely. I mean, we're really happy that he was a part of the program. You know, our concern is that, you know, we never know in the middle of the night if we're going to get a phone call where he's absolutely inconsolable because of his anxiety and depression, and just want to make sure that we make the connection with the right therapist and aren't really quite sure what the next step is in terms of a therapist in the Chicagoland area, because he's in California right now.
Somebody has just texted in. His name is Ben Harris. And again, do your research and check the website. But the Anxiety Treatment Center of Greater Chicago, offices in Deerfield and downtown. I work there. We're very good at what we do. And that's just it, John, is a lot of people don't know where to turn to get help.
It's true. It's true. And I'm glad Ben wrote, because that is actually a really, really good resource. And Linda, if you need to reach out to me, I'd be happy to help you identify the right therapist as well. And I'll throw in one other thought. You know, if you find that he's having a really difficult time coping, there is no shame in taking a little extra time if you feel like at the end of the summer, he's just not really where he needs to be, and taking, you know, a semester or even another year just to make sure he's got his legs underneath him, that he feels good, a little less depressed, a little less anxious, and a little able to cope better and make it through that last year successfully. So I don't want you to dismiss that idea altogether either. That happens frequently and typically works out pretty well.
And we are all about that, all about working together to provide the best care that we can for him, no matter what it is, what it takes, and, you know, working on what his goals are and what he wants to accomplish. We just know that he needs a great deal of help when he gets home, and we're just looking for the best help that we can for him.
And John, don't you think that a very important issue here is that her son did participate in the intensive outpatient program, because he realizes then that something, he needs help with something.
Absolutely. And that, like I was saying, with young men, that's a big part of the issue, is just getting him in the room and working, and given that he is well aware of it and maybe uncomfortable enough with the depression and anxiety that he really wants to do something about it and he's motivated, you're a long ways towards solving the problem, Linda.
And Linda, why don't
Thank you so much.
Hang on a second. We'll get your number. Kevin will get your number, and we can arrange for you and Dr. Duffy to discuss this a little further.
Good luck with all this, Linda.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good luck, Linda.
The hardest part there, John, is what Linda said, is that they're here, he's in California, you can't keep that close of an eye on him at a crucial time.
Right. And you know, Linda, if you're still listening, you know, that is really important, and it's not a reasonable, tenable place to keep your family, right?
Yeah.
Because it puts you in a really, really bad spot. And the message he's sending you pretty well is he's not coping very well, right?
Right.
And so,
but he's already a junior. I'm kind of surprised he's still there.
It's interesting because normally when these things happen, it happens freshman year, maybe early sophomore year. So there's probably some strengths that he has that, you know, he's been exhibiting for these couple of years in order to manage these difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I would guess if he were sitting right here, the depression, the anxiety, the panic disorder didn't just show up in his life. He's probably been managing it really well. So part of the treatment ought to be focused on the strengths he already has.
Yeah.
And people have to start parenting for their own children. And who gives a care what other people say about your children? Because a lot of times we get in that mode where we're trying to make ourselves look like a good parent. Somebody called me the other day here on the air and said, "You must be a terrible parent." You know what? I do the best I can. I took offense to it because we're all trying every day. I got to stop worrying about what other people think. And listeners, you do too. Work what's best for your family.
We all do. You know, I think we all have to recognize we're doing our best. We're acting on behalf of our kids as best we can. Every kid is different. Every kid has different needs. Most all of us struggle at some point in our lives. So you can't judge yourself if, just like Linda's son, that they're in that spot where they're struggling, because that is not the end of the world. And typically, 3-4 years down the road, Linda's son and people like him will look back and say, you know what, that wasn't a bad time. I learned a lot about myself during that rough time in my life that I wouldn't have learned if things have gone smoothly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a
sure.
good point.
Yeah.
It makes sense. John, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you being here. It's
What's
Dr.
your website?
John Duffy.
I'm sorry, it's not on here.
www.drjohnduffy.com.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, guys.
We'll take a quick break. The news with Kim next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.